Blog Talk Radio.
You're a savage, dude.
You ready?
Yeah.
What time is it? Oh, man! What time is it? Oh, man!
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news that's related to boxing. We're going to talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We've got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And let's go ahead and let's get started with it, man. Showtime. Frank Martin versus Artem Hartunian. I probably butchered his name. I think that's how we got it, Beeb. Is that right? Hartunian?
That'll work.
Oh, that'll work, yeah.
Hartunian.
Okay, Hartunian. There we go.
We'll go with that. How's that?
All right, that works. That works for me. This is the WBC lightweight title eliminator. Frank Martin wins a tight unanimous decision over Hartunian by the scores of 114, 113, 115, 112 twice. There's a ton of hype coming into this fight on Frank Martin. I thought he did well. I thought he had a big sixth round. I thought he had a big 12th round. He closed the show. Listen, man, he's close, okay? He's close, but I don't think he's ready for the big boys in that division just yet. You know, I don't think he's there yet. I think he's real close. He's got, 19 wins, 18 wins now?
18 wins.
Yeah, he's on his way. I want to see him get to 24, 25.
He's close, though.
He needs some fights, though. He is, but he needs some fights, man.
Sure.
But I tell you what, man. That being said, though, the guy he fought,
really
no slouch.
Solid.
The guy was undefeated Olympian, bronze medalist. This ain't no sucker out there. This guy is a really good fighter, man. And it was a good fight. Good fight. I thought Franklin won. Frank Martin won. I thought he won, but, I thought he did well. I thought he did well. It was a close fight, but I thought he won. I thought the right guy won. But, I hope they're not rushing this guy. I don't want to see him fight for a title anytime soon. I think he needs some more seasoning in there. I hope they saw that last night. Because, again, this guy was a good fighter. This wasn't like a showcase type of fight. He was in there against a live body, man. And that fight could have gone either way coming in. So I think, but again, man, I think he needs more seasoning before he goes up to the upper echelon.
Yeah. Again, the biggest thing here was the first three rounds were very interesting. I gave Hartunian the first round. A lot of people gave Martin the second. I gave Martin the second, but the third round was a swing round where I saw a lot of people give it to Hartunian. I actually gave it to Martin. So on a lot of people's cards and the judges' scorecards and Steve Farhood's card as well, after six, they had Hartunian up 4-2. So he was behind. I actually had Martin up 4-2 at that point. But Hartunian really started to kind of box very well on the outside, and he was really doing well with his jab, and he was keeping Martin on the outside. Martin was having a hard time getting inside because Hartunian would stick him, but he would never stay still for him. He kept moving, forcing Martin to have to kind of reshuffle his feet a little bit, and he had a hard time cutting the ring off, in moments in this fight. So I thought Hartunian went on a little run, like from round 7 through 9, but then, going into the 10th round, I did have Martin down. I had him down by a round, right? But what happened was he got that speech in the corner from Derek James, and he reacted to that speech. He went at him. He just didn't follow him anymore. He was just trying to cut off the escape routes. He kind of got a sense for where, I'm just going to go. I'm going to cut him off. I'm not going to go straight in anymore. I'm just going to start coming. cutting them off at the angle here, right? I'm going to be more aggressive, but I'm going to be a little bit smarter in my aggression this time, right? Maybe throw a feint, make it freeze him a little bit, and then kind of cut him off, because I know I'm getting a sense where he's going to his right a lot. If he was going to his right a lot, and he gauged that and he cut him off, right? So Hartunian was running out of space in those last three rounds. He was trying to get away, but he couldn't. So you got to give Martin credit, because he had to bite down in this fight. He had to make adjustments in this fight. And you could see that certain fighters in these types of situations, they tend to unravel, especially a guy who only has 18 fights, who's still still at prospect level or not yet at that contender level. Even though this was an eliminator, there's still a little bit of ways to go. Just because you get that eliminator tag and you get that little, NABF-type belt or whatever, or the WBC International belt, that doesn't mean you're there yet. But this is definitely a fight that is going to be instrumental in the growth of this guy. And this is one of these fights that it's great to have in a young fighter's career.
Yeah.
Well, he's not young, but he's young in boxing, in his fights, in boxing experience, I should say. So this is just a great notch to check off on the belt there. And, this is a great learning experience for him. And I think he'll be better for it. And I do like the way he reacted to the adversity in this fight. I do think he won the fight. And he had to dig down deep and win those last three rounds to cement it. And then he got the knockdown in the tenth as well. So
how old is Frank Martin? How old is he?
I think he's in his 30s or something like that. I mean, double check. Because it was funny because Devin Haney were going at it, and Devin Haney called him an old ass.
Oh, he's 28. He's not that old. He's 28.
Yeah, he's 28. Yeah. I thought he was close to 30, but yeah, he's 28. But that's not young. And like that's
But he's got 18 fights too, so he's right where he probably needs to be.
Yeah. I thought he was 30, but yeah, he's 28.
Yeah, that's not old. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on him moving forward as far as can he compete with Devin Haney or any of the big guys in this,
I think he can.
Right now?
I agree with you. I would rather have he had two more fights under his belt, yes.
Yeah, I want to see him get some more fights. This was a great fight for him.
Because he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him get slow rolled too much. I don't want to see him go the Boots Ennis route, because I don't think that's going to be beneficial either. So I would say two more fights, and he's ready.
When you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Who would you have him, some top names? Yeah, I would have him face some top guys. If we're gonna do that,
What about William Zepeda?
That's a great fight. That's it. Yeah, he's gonna. I want him to fight some recognizable names, because when you do that, your name gets elevated as well. Because I think we got something. You know what I mean? When I watch this guy, he's got something.
Him and Isaac Cruz would be a phenomenal fight too.
That's the fight to make right there.
That would be a beautiful fight right there.
That's the fight to make. Yeah.
I don't want to see him fight, with all the respect, a Jorge Linares or Yuriorkis Gamboa.
We've seen it.
You don't need a step back here.
No, because that would be a step back, especially after this fight. That's a step back. Those guys are done.
Yeah. So
I tell you, and speaking of done, let's go to our co-main here, which was Elvis Rodriguez versus Victor Postol. Man, I tell you what, Rodriguez manhandled Postol.
Oh, very sad.
He stopped Postol in the seventh round. I was surprised prior to this fight. I remember I asked you last week, I didn't even know Postol was still fighting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't be.
No, especially after this. Rodriguez dropped Postol in the sixth round, stopped him in the seventh. This was just a one-way beating, man. And if I'm Postol's manager, I tell you what, he's got to take a look in the mirror after this one, because if I'm his manager, I'm saying, hey, man, maybe you want to think about something else here. because he got beat, and he shouldn't have got beat by this. You know, can you imagine this fight 10 years ago? If Postol was in his prime, this fight, you know, it doesn't go this way.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't, man. And, you know, he's not, to me, he's no longer a viable contender, a title contender. He's a viable top 10, top 20 guy, whatever. You want to gatekeep him, whatever. But as far as him being in contention for any type of title, I don't see it. Do you? I don't see it. He's done, you know.
I hate using this word, but he's a gatekeeper at this point. But even below that. Right?
Even that, he's below that. Because if he beat Victor Postol, who cares? You know? I mean, that's the thing. Like, so what? You bring in Victor Postol and you beat your guy, your up-and-comer beats that guy, just like this guy. Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is shop-worn. You know what I'm saying? He's done. You know, and he's had a good career. And you don't want to see him go this route. He's had a great career. You know?
Champion.
Yeah. So, look, man, I mean, that's why you're in this business. But to me, I think when you kind of have to draw that line is when you get to that point, where you're no longer a viable title contender. You know, you're not going to beat any of the champions. You're not going to beat any of the guys leading into the champions. If they gave you a title fight in 6 months to train or 4 months to train or whatever you give your time with, it doesn't matter. You're not going to beat that guy. What's the sense of going on at this point?
No sense.
There's easier ways to make a living. There's easier ways to make the money. It's just a better way of doing, you know what I mean? There's a better way of doing things. If you're in this for the money, you know, just not good. But yeah, man, Rodriguez looked good, by the way. But it was a one-sided beating, and we would expect Rodriguez to look good here, you know, quite honestly. Yeah, I hope we don't see Postol again. I really don't, you know. Freitas Rojas versus Diego Sanchez. Rojas stopped Sanchez in the seventh. I didn't catch this fight. I wasn't real interested in it, to be honest with you, either. But the first two, I tell you what, Showtime put on a good card. Those first two fights were good. Possibly that third fight, like I said, I mean, it was a knockout, so it was entertaining. So they did a great job.
No surprises here, though.
No surprises.
But
I tell you, I was surprised at the main event. I was.
The main event delivered.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, the undercard, no surprises.
No surprises there. But I tell you, that main event, it delivered, and it was a, you know, it was not a showcase fight, I'll tell you that. You know, and that's what you expect to see when you see, like, Frank Martin in there, or they put guys in there. This was a solid, solid fight, man. Either guy could have won that. Either guy could have walked home winner out that, man. I'll tell you that. And then we moved to DAZN. Then we moved to lovely DAZN. Remind me again how much that is per year.
$224.
What's that run down to a month?
About $18 a month.
$18, $20 a month. About $20 a month, you figure?
Yeah.
About $20 a month for this garbage. Hot garbage. I don't care. Let me tell you this. I don't care if you bought DAZN or if DAZN was showing these for free. Don't care. But the charge for this $20 a month for the nonsense that they're putting out, are you kidding me? You say, okay, well, they're going to have Canelo on there. So what? You're going to have Canelo on there? Great. It's a pay-per-view, stupid. It's going to be a pay-per-view. You're going to have to pay on top of the $20 you pay every month. You're going to have to pay another fee. If it was 20, I'll tell you this. If it was 20 and there was no pay-per-views, I'm okay. I'm all right with it. I don't like the garbage at all. But every now and then I get Canelo, or every now and then I get Anthony Joshua on there. Whatever.
You ain't getting Canelo on there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's at the PBC now. Yeah, you don't even worry about that. He's at the PBC.
You ain't getting him anymore.
Right. You know, so, hey, good luck with that 20, stretching that dollar. Who are you going to put on pay-per-view, by the way? If you're DAZN now, who do you put on pay-per-view?
Nobody in the American – no one that the American public's going to buy.
Yeah, Joshua and White's going to be on pay-per-view in the U.K. It'll be free here because nobody's going to watch it anyway.
Yeah, it'll be free here, yeah.
You know, nobody's going to pay for that, of course. But it's in pay-per-view in DAZN in the UK. So, again, who are you going to put on pay-per-view if you're DAZN?
And let's talk about this main event. Christine Bernard, too. She's
35,
again,
by the way.
No disrespect. I'm just not a fan of allowing fighters to fight who have artificial lenses in their eye. That's number one.
She's got an artificial lens?
She's got an artificial lens in her eye. She was denied a boxing license one time before. She's definitely on the downside of her career. I understand Alicia Baumgartner lost to her, split decision.
Yeah, let's go ahead
years back, and you just want revenge.
Right.
But again, you knew what you were getting. It was a shutout type performance. No disrespect to women's boxing, but
sounds like a lot of disrespect to women's boxing, Beeb.
Well,
maybe you ought to check yourself. Maybe you ought to check yourself at the door. I'm just saying that these ladies do the best they can, and you're just dumping all over them.
Stop gaslighting me.
But
this was just not an entertaining fight, man.
Of course it wasn't an entertaining fight. You got two chicks going at it. Of course it wasn't entertaining.
And then Andy Cruz, again, we know he's a talented guy. But Juan Carlos Burgos, again, and he's another guy that probably – yeah, another guy that probably should have been – and again, it's Andy Cruz's first fight as a pro. Understood. But my only concern with Andy Cruz is he going to be everyone's cup of tea? Or is he going to be like another Guillermo Rigondeaux where, he's a very skilled guy, very talented boxer, but are people going to get excited to see this guy? I know they love to sell the Olympic gold medalist. I get that, but you have to have a pro style. And it remains to be seen whether or not Andy Cruz is going to transition into that pro style and make people want to watch him. And I'm not rooting against the guy, but something tells me that he may fall into that Guillermo Rigondeaux category where, he's great, he's talented, whatever. But are people going to want to see this guy fight, and they're going to want to get behind him? I'm skeptical on that.
Who signed him? Who signed Cruz? Was that Matchroom?
Matchroom signed him, yeah.
Matchroom signed him, and they were all excited about it. So let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Given the fact that we got this brand new guy from Cuba, the Cuban gold medalist Andy Cruz, man, and we think he's going to make a splash.
Yeah.
So our first fight that we're going to get you excited about this guy, right? We're going to get you excited, salivate, because, I got to see this guy again. We put him against a pro, a seasoned pro, over the hill, not over the hill, whatever. All right? We put him in there against a seasoned pro with 46 fights to his zero fights, right? And a guy, by the way, has never been knocked out with Burgos. Never been stopped, never been knocked out. Right? Do you think that's the best matchmaking they could have done for this? Why not put him in there with a guy? If you want to put him in there with a guy with a lot of fights, whatever. All right? Put him in there with a guy who, he's not going to go the full 10 with. You want to see this guy. You want to get people excited about this guy. That 100, that 191 or whatever it was, whatever score, 190 or
shut,
90.
It was a shutout.
It was a complete shutout. Who wants to watch that again? I mean, really.
Yeah, who wants to watch that again?
And you put him against a guy, again, with 46 fights. Where do you go from here? You think he's like the next Lomachenko where you're going to put him up against a champion and maybe not. And I'm not saying, listen, Andy Cruz is a heck of a talent. He's a gold medalist. No questions. But all the Cuban fighters – that we've seen, all the pro Cuban fighters have a similar, they bring that amateur type point style. You know what I mean? They bring that amateur type point style, which is great in the amateurs. And it's great in the pros. But it's not great for your paycheck, right? Because nobody wants to sign up to see that. Listen, I love Rigondeaux, and I love the way he boxes. If I had to emulate a boxer, hey, it's Rigondeaux all day because he doesn't get hit. You know what I mean? That guy was hard to hit in his heyday. But, you know, the thing is, like I said, and I think, you know, if these Cubans are going to make this transition to pro, they got to do it earlier. They can't win three or four gold medals and then come in. It doesn't work.
I've been saying that.
Because at that point, you've spent so much time in the amateurs, you've seen every style. After that first Olympics or whatever, you've seen everything. Come to the pros. That's the time to make a splash.
Yeah.
Shoeshine Boxing says, Ropesy Ramirez lost his first pro fight, also a medalist. Top Rank wanted to guarantee this didn't happen again. Well, listen, man, and Ropesy, that's a great point, too. They put him out there. This is the guy that beat Shakur Stevenson, who's tearing it up in the pros. His first pro fight, he gets smashed. You know, he loses the fight. He didn't get smashed, but he lost the fight, right? So, look, man, do a better job matchmaking these guys. They come out, they don't know what they want. They think they can take on the world. Great. That's the kind of attitude I want. But we don't have to test that theory in their first fight. This was a bad move, a bad first fight for him. Now, again, I know he won every round, and he looked great. He did. But he's not very fan-friendly, not the kind of, you know, listen, I'll watch him all day. But he doesn't have the style that are going to make people say, man, I got to tune in. I got to see this guy again. Nobody cares,
yeah. You
know. And the same thing, you know, and honestly, you know, Shakur is at least coming into his own.
Yeah, he's,
they're
he's
bringing him along really well. You know,
he had a talking to with him. He told him, "Hey, you what you're doing ain't gonna cut it, man.
No, it's so, not."
And he had that talk with Bradley, and ever since then, he's.
You see him. He wants to get more exciting. He wants to sit down. He wants to because he's right. I mean, he can go through everybody like that. He's unhittable, man. You get out of here, man. You're not beating that guy.
And maybe it's not fair, but life's not fair.
It is what it is, man. Listen.
This is the guy with a local 22 jacket, man. When I go to Dunkin' Donuts, I got to get at the back of the line just like everyone else. They don't care that I got that 22 on my left breast. It means nothing to them.
Left breast.
You know, life's not fair.
Jermaine Franklin also on the undercard beat Isaac Munoz 191. Who cares?
Jermaine Franklin proved he's the best of his class, which is top 20, because he fought a guy who was probably top 40.
Top 21, you know? I mean, who cares? That was, I mean, like, come on, man. That Alicia Baumgartner fight, obviously I didn't watch that one. 2-minute rounds. She won by unanimous decision in front of about 17 people in Detroit. I don't know. How many people were there? Do you know how many people were there at the Masonic Temple in Detroit?
It looked like it was, I don't know.
17, 18 people?
No, that's not nice. A couple thousand, I guess. I don't know, man. A
couple thousand?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't want to be disrespectful.
See these two chicks fight, huh?
I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't want to be disrespectful, man.
You were already disrespectful to these women. They're out there putting on a show for you, and you could care less, Bead. You didn't even watch it. You were like, I'm not even watching this nonsense.
You've polluted my mind week after week. Week after week, you've been drilling in my head how bad women's boxing is.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? I got to tell me I'm wrong.
Now you got me reciting your mantra. I can't stop now. Oh,
real man.
Oh, but seriously.
52 people showed up.
I got to be honest with you, man. I don't know, man.
Reese Mack says, my disdain for women's boxing is strange to me. I'll tell you again, and this is where it comes from, 2-minute rounds. I don't understand it. You guys are better than that. You know you're better than that, and none of you complain about it. If you guys wanted 3-minute rounds, you guys could have 3-minute rounds. The first thing you say, the first words out of your mouth, we're not getting paid for 3-minute rounds. Okay. You're not getting paid for 3-minute round. Okay. How much, Steve, at your job, let me ask you this. You know how they give you that job when you first come in, that job description? How much of your job is actually on that? Or do you do everything on there plus?
I'll tell you
You're
what I
always ask.
You know why I do favors for people? If I get asked to do a little something extra, I'm in a union, right?
Yeah.
But I never go to the union and complain, oh, they're making me do that. You know why? Because one fucking hand washes the other.
Yeah.
I do something my boss asks me to do. He does me a solid down the road. Hey, can I leave a little bit early today, take a half day? I'll use half the vacation day. Don't worry about it. Just go home. I'm paying you the whole day.
Right.
I took this thing called the 7 Effective Habits. Stephen Covey, 7 Effective Habits of Effective People, right? 7 Habits of Effective People.
Right.
Excuse me. And you know what it is? You make deposits in the emotional bank account. So sometimes when you do something, right, you say to yourself, it's going to get paid forward to me. Like you make a deposit in the emotional bank account. So if my boss asks me to do something, I do it because I know he got my back down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So if you're a female boxer, right, and you have the three, look at the big picture. You start fighting 3-minute rounds. That's another minute to work with. We're going to start having probably more knockouts. We're going to stop being more entertaining.
Right.
People are going to stop wanting to see us. People aren't going to call us women's boxing as much. Like, say we're not.
It's
we're different
now at that point. You know?
We don't have to be put in a box like we're a female boxer now. Now, like, people won't separate us as much because now we're doing the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to think ahead. Don't always think, what am I getting now? But think about, what am I getting down the road? Make the deposit in the emotional bank account. I've been telling Robbie that for years. I don't want to go into it, but that's another reason why.
Yeah.
That's another reason why, because he never made deposits in the emotional bank account.
Alicia is more muscular than most men at her weight, so nobody's curious. I am your leader, says Alicia is on some good PEDs.
Please.
Who cares? Who cares if she's on PED? You know what? Juice away. Juice away. Go get implants or do whatever it is you do. I don't care about this. I mean, again, it is – Dwayne says it. I am Dwayne in the chat says it. It's boring. It just is. And you said it before the show. There are so many mismatches here because the sport is just not that deep on their side. And there's nothing to do. There's nothing. What are you going to – you know what I mean? Like, nobody comes close to Clarissa Shields. Nobody. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope. Nobody's going to come close to Clarissa Shields. That's it. Bottom line. You're not going to touch her. She's the best fighter in the women's division. Do with that information what you want to do with it. I still would not pay a ticket to go watch her fight. Would you pay to watch her fight? I told you. You know? Tony Mann says, he said 3-minute rounds from a woman makes no difference. You know what? I've got to be honest. You're probably right. I'm not going to like it either with the 3 rounds, with the 3 minutes. But look, it's just, you know, looking for parity here. Yeah, Dwayne says if she's on PED, she's still not knocking anybody out. Katie Taylor is above Shields? No, she's not. Come on, stop it.
She makes more money than Shields, but I don't think she's going to be.
No, come on. If you put those two in a ring and put them at the same weight,
she's not going to beat Shields.
No, no way. Eddie Hearn is talking Baumgartner. Who cares what Eddie Hearn is talking? Eddie Hearn's another
one. Serrano's another one. She doesn't want to fight anybody. Out of the 9 world titles, Serrano's won.
She wants to fight 0 people.
Out of the 9 world titles, Serrano's won. 7 of them have been for vacant titles. She hasn't fought Baumgartner, right?
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't fought, Mikaia Mayer, right? She hasn't fought Terry Harper. She hasn't fought Tasha Jonas. She never fought Holly Holm when Holly Holm was fighting.
And you know what?
She never fought.
I don't understand
Delphine Pursoon, she never fought.
I don't understand
I can give you a list of fighters she hasn't fought. But, I got 9 world titles in 7 different weight classes. But they were for vacant titles.
Yeah, and, like, who are you fighting to get this? Who are you fighting? The chick at the laundromat? Who are you fighting to get this?
It's horrible.
Come on.
Sorry.
stop it. Doesn't make sense. Boxing, thank you so much. He says, Beeb, how do you think Canelo look in Bob Garner's outfit?
Oh, come on, don't even go there, man.
Oh, stop it, Beeb. What's the matter with you?
I don't want to get freaky.
Answer the question.
Why does everyone ask me these freaky questions, right? What do I look like? Do I look like a phony?
You really want to know? All right.
Okay,
you really want to know? All right.
Please don't answer that. Please don't answer that. People calling it, talking about my – I don't even want to go there.
This is great. Nine world titles. Are there even nine women boxers?
Oh,
oh, my God. I hear Marshall versus Shields is next. Again, who cares?
Maybe.
Who cares? We already saw the fight. She got beat. She wasn't – she's not – Savannah Marshall's not beating her. She just ain't.
No,
where did
not.
They win that? That was in England, wasn't it?
Yes.
And she lost in England, son.
Yeah.
There ain't – who cares about the second, you know?
What would happen if the fight's at 168? Does it make a difference?
No, it doesn't make it. Have the fight at 200 pounds. Who cares? You know, who cares? Let him eat. Let him eat. Let him – whatever. Let him, you know, let him go out there.
He said, let it be. All
right.
Take it to the Golden Corral before the fight.
Go to the Golden, right. Go to those buffets in Vegas or whatever. Load up. Let them fight after that, you know?
Oh, God. That's crazy. That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
All right. Upcoming fights. Let's see what we got on the agenda here. Not much coming up this weekend, anyway. Let's see what we got here. All right, let's see. These are key dates. July 22nd from Shawnee, Oklahoma, Beeb, on ESPN. Is Maxie Hughes from Oklahoma? I don't know.
Maxie Hughes.
He's fighting George George Kambosos versus Maxie Hughes is the main event on that fight, on that card, 12-round lightweights, and that's coming from Oklahoma. And it's just weird to have George Kambosos, the main event in Oklahoma. So I'm wondering if Maxie Hughes, you know, I don't know.
No, he's I think he's from the UK.
Yeah, I
think he's British.
Yeah, Kambosos, not from Oklahoma. That much we do know.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's just odd to have that as the main headliner.
But he's the IBO. He's the IBO champ from the UK.
Maybe, I don't know. So George Kambosos versus Maxie Hughes. 12 rounds lightweight, should be a decent fight. Keyshawn Davis, Olympian, versus Francisco Patera, 10 rounds lightweights. Giovanni Santillan versus Eric Bonet, 10 rounds welterweights. So that's the that's it for this weekend. Now, on Tuesday, I believe this is Tuesday.
That's correct.
In Tokyo, not this Tuesday, but the Tuesday and next Tuesday. Not you know, you guys get it.
25th,
Stephen Fulton versus Naoya Inoue, 12 rounds for Fulton's WBC and WBO junior featherweight titles at 4:45 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN+.
I'll be up, too. We'll both be up because we got to go to work.
We got to work,
right?
Man. We're working
on
people.
The phone.
You know, we're working people here. Philly Drew, thank you so much. And he says Maxie Hughes is going to win.
Maybe.
That is
possible.
That is very possible. That is very possible. They have a lot of fights in Oklahoma at times. Rafael says they have a lot of fights in Oklahoma. I know that, but I mean, typically it's like.
But you're putting an Australian and a UK guy.
Yeah, I think that's just a weird, for me anyway, it's a weird combo. It just is, you know. I'd have that fight in Oklahoma. You know, why have that fight in I don't know. But anyway, Stephen Fulton, the following week is where the action is. Stephen Fulton versus Naoya Inoue, July 25th. And then the big one, let's see here, Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford on July 29th. Yeah, by the big one, as soon as I said the big one, then the July 28th card came up, Cienta Estrada. Yeah, okay. And that's on ESPN+. Yeah, that's a horrible card, too. That's a good fight. That's a good fight. Yeah, I can't. The Inoue fight, I mean, we're going to have these within a span of like 5 days, man. So Inoue versus Fulton and then Crawford Spence, I mean, my God, I mean, what can we possibly want? I mean, you know, we talk about like, the you know, last year and the year before that. You cannot complain at all about 2023.
Yeah.
Right? You can't. You've gotten every fight you could possibly dream of, and it's only July.
The problem is, if you live in the UK, it's been a tough year for you. Because a lot of these fights in the U.S., you either have to pay pay-per-view for them, or you won't be able to watch them.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. You know, that's just the way it is. Sometimes they get free fights over here that we have to pay for. That's nonsense.
I know.
Yeah, well, look at Mexico when Floyd Mayweather fought Pacquiao. It was free over there. It was no pay-per-view there. Free, right across the border.
I know.
You know?
Viva Mexico, man.
That's right. That's how we're living over here. Remy, thank you so much. He said, bless Sunday, Eric and B. Thank you so much, my friend. All right. I'll tell you what, before we go to the news and everything like that, let me go to the phone. And let's see if we can get, looks like Robert is on the line here. Robert, 530.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Not much really talk about this week.
All right, we'll see you later.
No, I meant as far as boxing goes, man.
Sure.
I mean, the fights, the Frank Martin fight was probably the best one of the whole day, you know.
Did you watch a DAZN card?
Yeah, I watched the DAZN card, and it was a disaster like everybody thought it would be.
I mean, you were sitting there hyping it up last week, telling everyone to watch it, how great it was, trying to...
Well,
I don't know. I got to ask you, question. I got to ask you an honest question.
All right.
Let me ask you an honest question. You're not sleeping with anyone that works at the zone right now.
Oh.
Are you?
Hell no.
You're not having an affair with anyone like a worker that works over at the zone?
I heard some dude named David.
No,
I
haven't.
All of a sudden, you've been saying how great the zone is. Last week, you were pumping up both these cards on the zone to, these are going to be great cards. I don't know, man. You must be having an affair with someone that works over at the zone. Tell the truth.
No, but like I told you earlier this week, I wish we could interview somebody that runs that company because I would like to know
why. Well, you're dating someone that works there, so ask her what's going on.
For him, we don't discriminate here.
I'm glad you know about my love life. I wish I had one. Okay, honestly, I wish we could interview somebody.
I didn't want you to say something like that. I mean, now we're getting depressed about.
I wish we could interview somebody from that company because I would really like to know what their justification was for making people in the U.S.
What did you want, John Stossel? All of a sudden, you want to interview people now?
What do you think? We can't get somebody from DAZN on here? We don't have anybody from DAZN on here because we choose not to have anybody from DAZN on here.
Well, Eric,
wouldn't you
like to ask them why they jacked it up so high?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just not going to pay for it.
Well, of course you're not going to pay for it. Of course you're not going to pay for it.
That's right. I'm not paying for it. Beeb, are you going to cancel your subscription to DAZN?
I'm this close to hitting that even cancel
button. Right.
This close.
Yeah.
Thinking about just getting Robbie's login and using his.
Think we're all going to get Robbie's login and use his?
I'm not going to get in trouble for that.
Thank you, Boxing. We appreciate it. The question is, and this is to you, Robert, from Boxing. Who does Robbie have tonight, Mexico or Panama in the soccer game?
Oh, I think Mexico.
Mexico, son.
Yeah.
Mexico, baby.
Yeah. I think Mexico will win, yes. Yep, there you go.
There you go.
next week is definitely going to be the week of fights, so. And, Eric, to answer your question about the Saturday card with ESPN in Oklahoma, that is strange. Why in the world would they have an Australian and a UK guy fight in Oklahoma? Normally when Top Rank puts these cards on and they normally put it somewhere, they normally have a hometown guy that's going to be in the main event. I mean, maybe some of these people that are going to be there on Saturday aren't going to know who these guys are.
I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to know who these guys are that are in Oklahoma. I mean, Jesus Christ.
That, No, I
it's
mean,
just
top
an
rank,
odd place for those two to
rank,
fight. That's all.
Top
fight,
rank,
but it's just odd.
Top rank normally does a good job about putting these fights together, but this one makes no sense. I mean, it's going to be a good fight, but it doesn't make any sense about the location.
Nando Llamas, thank you so much. He said that Golden Boy DAZN card from Mexico City was one of the best yesterday. Live music during the fights. Chavez was going crazy. There you go.
Yes, that was a good
fan.
Card yesterday. Yes, it was.
Glad you enjoyed it, Nando.
USC Trojans, thank you so much. He said Baumgartner should show her areolas, her Chris areolas.
That's not nice,
oh,
man.
God.
Please. He's a respectful.
I'm just
bad enough you got to listen to bad enough you got to listen to Robbie's craziness. Are you going to hear that, too?
Stop.
No, I'm not Stop. Crazy. I pass all evaluations that I'm put through.
He passed the evaluations. There we go.
Okay. Let me start telling people that you got me as bad.
No, it's all right.
All right, Robert.
All right,
Robert, we're
going to
get
guys.
Running. Do you think they ought to get rid of women's boxing?
No, but I think
that is a
should,
yes from Robert. I'm
I
like, on record.
Should, I think
that
they
is a
should
yes.
fight under the same rules. I think they should fight under the same rules.
I agree. I agree.
That means you're running going.
Yeah.
So,
D-Style, thank you so much. He said, Robbie hates people of Oklahoma. Robert, is that true?
No.
You don't hate people in Oklahoma.
No, I've got family there, so no, that's not true.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you got family there. How convenient.
Yeah,
how convenient
yeah.
for you to say it after D-Style gives that super chat.
Yeah.
Don't try to clean it up now,
hey,
Robert.
D-Style is a good guy, so he can give as many
don't
super chats as
Don't stop D-Style's ass now, please.
All right. Come on.
He's not going to go to your side.
He just can't
right,
win with you. He can't be beat.
He heard what you said about Mexicans, so don't think he's going to your side.
Oh, hey, I don't put down Mexicans. Come on.
Well, you sure as hell don't put them up either.
Hey,
Joe, remember,
you used to be known as the Lebanese Prince.
Now you're taking shots at Middle Eastern people. What is wrong with you?
I'm cooking for deep style. All right, Robert,
guys,
we're going to get rolling
we'll
here.
See.
We're going to leave you on, though. All right. Let's see. 806, you're live.
All right, I wrote something for Beeb. It took me all night to write this, so I want everybody to listen to it if I can have the stage.
806
That's
is
okay.
a panhandle of Texas, by the way, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
You have the.
It
you
took
have
me all
before.
Night to write this. It took me all night to write this. This is for Beebs. Roses
so
are red. Violets are blue.
Yes.
Beeb,
yes.
I want to make love to you. And then I have
nice.
A song for Beeb.
Oh,
if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends. Making love forever. Mm. Friendship never ends.
Love it.
Get
them
off.
Love
get them
it.
Off, please. Get
I
love
it. Matter
what would you? Why would
you have a genuine admirer here, and this is the, you know, you act like a little kid. You act like a little
hey,
girl.
Right,
come on.
Right. Lois ain't going
to
like
He loves
this.
You.
Lois ain't going to like this.
Well, Lois doesn't have much say in it. It cannot be stopped.
He wasn't using swear words this time.
That was a beautiful song, though. You got to admit.
Horrible.
You didn't like it?
Hated it.
But he loved you. What's the matter with you? 210, you're live.
Hey, guys. Anthony, Texas. What's cracking?
Anthony from Texas. What's
Anthony,
up?
Anthony, what's happening, brother?
Not much, man. Good to hear yeah. y'all, man. Had to chime in this week. Yeah, man, women's boxing is like the WNBA. I guarantee the NBA power brokers wish they could do away with it, but they would get canceled if they did. But hey guys, what do y'all think of Fury versus Ngannou?
We're going to talk about it a little bit later. I think Beeb and I are coming out on two different sides on this. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes, but yeah, I love that. I really do. I do, and I know that a lot of people don't, but I'll go into my reasons why. But I like it. I like it.
All right. I just wanted to kind of defend Beeb's boy here a little bit. I mean, I don't like it, but I'll watch it. You know what I mean?
You talking about the guy from Texas or Tyson Fury?
Oh, no, Tyson Fury. Tyson.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the last call. Okay. That's the
boy. But, I mean, okay, say you're at work, right? You got this hard project you know is going to – that you might not get done. You got an easier project to do for just as much money. You could do it with your eyes closed. You could take 3-hour lunch breaks. It's gonna be a breeze. You're gonna take the easy route, right? I mean, that's what Tyson Fury is doing, you know. And Ngannou, you can't knock him. He's gonna clear $10 million, I think. You know, his last fight in the UFC was for $600, something like that. So
yeah.
They
get a million. I mean, the champions over there get $1 million a fight. They make money. I mean, it's not high level boxing money.
They get pay per view back end.
Yeah, they get quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, but it's going to be a huge difference. But I mean, so I don't blame either one of them.
I agree. Yeah.
I think and it's crazy seeing boxing fans going back and forth. I come to boxing to get away from the right versus left politics going on in America. But when I come to boxing fans are the exact same way. Narratives, left, right. When it's funny because really I think the ones that are at fault are the Saudis. They're the ones with the FU money. They're throwing stuff. They're throwing stuff on the wall just to see it sticks, just for kicks or shits and giggles. Cause it's nothing to them. It reminds me when I was a kid and remember when y'all remember this, you go to the gas station, you know, you could get a big gulp for like 50 cents. You know, remember that it wasn't nothing, right? It was just 50 cents. So what do we do when we went there? Yeah. Let's put some Coke with some Sprite, with some Sunkist. Let's mix it up and just
right.
50 cents.
I'm so old.
Right?
I used to get the big gulps for a nickel in my day.
What's the matter with you?
I used to get the big gulps for a nickel in my day.
They didn't even have cars back then.
Exactly. It's just 5 cents, right? So to the Saudis, it's the same thing. It's just chump change to them. They're just kind of putting stuff on just for shits and giggles. I mean, I love boxing, and because I love boxing so much, I've been rooting for it to crash. You know, it's like the housing market down here in Texas where everybody wants it to crash just so everybody can afford houses again. I want Canelo to retire. But these Saudis keep coming in with their money, and you're seeing all these boxers all of a sudden turn to devout Muslims and visiting Mecca, you know, like they want that money. So they're the ones kind of holding these crazy, and everybody's still holding out for fights. I want boxing to crash. I'm hearing Spence talk about A side, B side, and, you know, these guys aren't Floyd. They're not Oscar. They're not Canelo. You know, Canelo's the last HBO-era star. I want him to go away so we can have a hard reset and fighters can come to reality. Al himself told Wilder, I can't pay you what you want. You know what I mean? So that's what I need, man. So I think people got to stop, you know, jumping on narratives. And when it comes to the Fury and Ngannou, I think the Saudis, man, everybody's wanting those stimulus packages for coming from the Middle East because the Saudis don't know any better. They just want entertainment. They're trying to get into all these other sports. But yeah, man, it's just madness, man. And it's just people going back and forth, but I'm going to watch it. You know, it should still be fun. I hope Fury represents the boxing and just clobbers them, but that's all I got, guys. Like, I'm just enjoying the show, but, looking forward to Spence Crawford and, that thank God we got that. Right.
That's right. That's right. Very good, man. Thank you so much for your call, man. That was awesome.
Good call, man.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this for a minute here. B, you're not a big fan of this, are you? We're talking about Fury and Ngannou has been set. You're not a big fan of this, no?
I understand why it's happening. So I'm never that guy to tell people, oh, don't buy this. This is horrible for buy what you want to buy. All I'm saying is, for me, these UFC boxing crossover fights, for me, the novelty has worn off. I just have no anticipation for this fight. I'm just really not excited about it. I'm not really interested in it. I know what it's going to be. Fury, it's going to be like what Mayweather did to McGregor. It carried him for like 9 rounds and then knock him out. I'm not excited about it. But I am happy for Ngannou. I'm glad he's going to get paid, and I understand why Fury's doing it. But just because I understand why it's happening doesn't mean I'm going to be over the moon about it either. It's not my job as a boxing fan to care about if someone's, even though I'm happy for them, it's really not my job to be happy for them.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody. I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's not I'm not getting any of it. Like, you're my friend. If it was you, I'd be a little bit invested in it or whatever. If it was Robbie, I wouldn't care. But someone like you, we're business partners. I'd be over the moon for you because you probably give me a cut or something. I realize that.
I'm not
but
getting anything.
That would be a different story. But I mean. When I hear boxing fans say, oh, well, you know, what would you do? I understand that, but I'm not on that side. So it's not about what I would do. It's about what I would buy and what you would buy. And if you think this is worth it for you to buy, that's fine. I'm never going to be that guy. Oh, this is horrible. No, because the reason why they're doing it is because people are going to buy it. So I understand that. And then if people buy it, there's nothing wrong with people who are going to buy this. I think a ton of UFC fans are going to buy this. They're going to go crazy for it, right? This may be the first pay-per-view that I don't buy.
You're not going to buy this?
I don't think so, no.
Didn't you buy a Clarissa Shields fight or something like that?
I bought a Bobby Gunn versus Roy Jones fight.
I would have bought that if I saw it on pay-per-view. I had to watch it secondhand, though.
You guys didn't have that available on DirecTV.
No, I had to watch it secondhand. Yeah, I had to watch it.
Yeah, we had
secondhand.
It on Comcast.
I know. I would have totally
so,
paid for that.
So I'm not going to openly talk bad about the fight.
Sounds like you are.
And I'm not going to insult the fight.
You already
and
did.
I'm not going to tell people who like the fight. I'm not going to tell people to not like the fight. I'm not going to be that guy. But in my own honest opinion, I'm just not excited about it. I just don't have a lot of anticipation for it. That's all.
With you. You bought the Charles Martin fight. What's wrong with you? All right. So here's where I fall on this. It's to me, it's real simple. Let me ask you a question, B. Who's going to get more pay-per-view buys? Ngannou Fury or Ngannou or Usyk and Fury? Who would have got a bigger pay-per-view?
In America?
Anywhere. You really have to think about this?
Globally?
I think you're right.
You know why you're right, Eric?
Yeah,
because you're going to be getting a boxing audience and a UFC audience. Yeah, you're right. I have to concede it.
No question. No matter where in the world.
I'm fighting it, but true. Yeah, Fury. Fury and Ngannou would probably sell. Yeah, it's going to sell more than Fury. I've been drinking my truth serum. I couldn't lie.
Centurion said boxing ain't buying this. Yeah, okay. Yeah, trust me, you're all buying it. There's no question. You're all buying it. You're all going to watch it. I don't know if you all buy it, but you'll all watch
right.
it. You will
Eric's
all
right.
watch it. No
this
question.
Will sell more pay-per-views. This will sell more pay-per-views.
If Clarissa Shields fights Savannah Marshall again, I don't want to. I'm not watching it. I don't need to watch it. I don't care if I get a second. I'm not going to watch it. Okay, this fight I will watch. In this
How
fight,
many
pay-per-view match.
How many pay-per-view buys? Two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I was gonna say 1.5, but okay.
UFC, you have no idea. You know, we're stuck in boxing, where the pay-per-views are 250, 300,000, 500 is great. You know, and a million, wow, you did great. Especially after that whole the market. You know what I mean? But the UFC routinely goes over a million.
Can I tell you something else? They'll probably sell this for like 50 or 60 bucks
at least.
This will not be more than $60. So,
yeah,
it's not going to be the typical pay-per-view that's $80-$85 here. So that will probably entice more people to buy it. And younger people will buy it, too, because they could probably, you know, it's more affordable.
Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley. You know what I mean? It becomes appeal. And you have the heavyweight champion of the world. Undisputed. Because Usyk's not beating that guy. I don't care what realm you want to – listen, Usyk ain't beating that guy.
I don't think Usyk beats him.
He's the best heavyweight on the planet right now. Forget his resume. Forget everything else you know. Nobody beats Tyson Fury right now at heavyweight. They just
best of all
don't.
Time. He's the best of all time.
Best of all time, right? Best heavyweight. Nobody's beating that guy. Second coming of Ali right there. Honestly, nobody beats him, okay? Now that we got that out of the way, he's going to fight Francis Ngannou. Ngannou's never had a fight. We all know this. We all know Ngannou's going to get blown out here. No question, right? But how many eyes are going to be on the sport? Tons, right? This is a mainstream deal. This is ESPN. This is Fox. This is a mainstream deal here, son.
Don't do this to me, man.
This is a mainstream fight. This is going to bring eyes to the sport. And in the end, that's all we want is eyes on the sport. The sport becomes bigger. That's what you want.
Oh, I gotta buy it. You're taunting me into buying this.
Listen, you know what this is gonna be like, Beeb? This is gonna be like the McGregor Mayweather fight where we both looked at each other and said, "You know what? I'm not doing it."
That was your fault. You're doing it again.
The press conference came. The press conference came.
You know I have
a
problem.
All in. We were all in.
You know I have a problem, and you're doing it to me.
Well,
Grimas
says this exhibition, and he's right. It is an exhibition. But they are pushing. They are pushing to have it. They're pushing to have this where if he loses, then it goes against Fury's record. They are pushing that. Now, I don't know where it ends up. Who knows? And it's all for hype, whatever. All right. But again, this is the biggest fight in the heavyweight division. I don't care what you say about Usyk. I don't care what you say about anybody else. This is the biggest fight in the heavyweight division right now, and it's Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou. Like it or not, it's the biggest fight. How do I know that? Because it will draw the most money. It will draw the most views. Listen, we love Usyk, and I think he's one heck of a fighter. I think he's the second best fighter in the division. I really do. He's impressed me from where he's come from to where he is now. He's not a household name. Francis Ngannou, not really a household name, but Tyson Fury, by the time this thing gets over with, Ngannou is going to be a household name, and Tyson Fury is going to be a household name. And that's the way these things work. So the only thing we can hope for is then when they go and fight Usyk, that fight's going to be massive, right? Because people are going to see Tyson Fury fight. It's not like Jake Paul, because Jake Paul is going away, right? But they're going to see Fury fight. Hey, that's the guy that beat Ngannou. Yeah, so he's fighting a real – oh, we got to check this out now. He may attract people to the sport. He may keep people in the sport. That's my point.
Let me ask you this, though. Is this the fight that a fighter takes if they're in preparation to fight Usyk next?
No, but who cares?
Would he have to fight another fight after this?
No.
Before he fights Usyk?
No. He could go in there cold and beat Usyk.
All right.
Usyk's not big enough. Usyk, yes, because Usyk is not big enough to fight Fury. He's not big enough to be competitive. And that's the brass tacks of it. He is not big enough to be competitive with Tyson Fury. He's too big. He boxes too well. You're not beating him. Usyk is short. What is Usyk's game plan to beat Fury? Get on the inside. Tyson fights great on the inside. He's big. He's strong. Usyk is strong. He's not that strong. He's not Fury strong. Fury is what, 6'8"?
Yeah.
Punching down. And as big as that guy is, 270. Come on, stop it. He's not beating him. There's no way.
I think he beats him.
No way. Yeah, and I Am Your Leader says Usyk will get mauled. Yeah. Centurion says he beat AJ twice, but Usyk has no chance. Listen, man, I like Usyk. I don't know what other way I can tell you. I like Usyk. I love watching him fight.
Why?
I like him.
Are people putting too much stock into those AJ fights?
They are. They are. Because here's the thing. Combat math doesn't work. Just because he beat AJ and let's say Tyson Fury fights AJ and he has a hard time with him, it doesn't mean anything. Combat math does not work. Just because you beat this guy doesn't mean you both beat this guy. It doesn't work. Okay? Doesn't work. who will seek his light on his feet. Yeah, I get it. He is a great boxer. He's a great boxer. He's not beating Fury. Yeah, he doesn't have the power to beat Fury, and he counters well. Well, let's see how well he counters with a 6'8 guy that you got to stand on the step stool to be as tall as that guy.
These are the same people that were saying that Dillian White was going to be going to give Fury problems to him.
Usyk, Grievous said Usyk will give him his run for his money but come up short. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that Usyk will be in that fight. I don't believe he wins. I don't know that he gets knocked out. Usyk has beat all of them. Yeah, I know this. I understand that. Well, so is Tyson Fury. So what? You know what I mean? Tyson's beat everybody too. And he's knocked out arguably the baddest man on the planet, the heaviest puncher in the heavyweight division, possibly heavyweight history, boxing history, Deontay Wilder, and he's beat him 3 straight times, convincingly. Who do you think wins that fight? Who do you think wins, Usyk or Deontay Wilder?
I think Deontay Wilder beats Usyk.
I think Deontay Wilder beats Usyk. I think Deontay's going to hit him. I think he at least hits him once.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you've got to favor Usyk, but I think Fury, I think Wilder. Wilder beats Joshua. Yeah, we've always thought Wilder beats Joshua.
I mean, styles make fights, man.
He doesn't have the skills. Wilder doesn't have the skills of any of his opponents has. I mean, let's face it.
Define what skills are. What do you mean skills? Because he doesn't fight the way you want him to fight. Like, this whole thing that Wilder has no boxing ability. Okay,
I think that's a fair point, though. He doesn't. He doesn't have the same boxing ability as Usyk.
No, he doesn't fight the same way. He probably doesn't have...
I know he doesn't have the same ability as Usyk.
But what I'm trying to say is he does do certain things well, and the things that he does do well are enough to enable him to win the fight. Wilder has a good jab. Wilder's got quick feet. Wilder's got a great right hand.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, does Usyk do more things better? Like, is he more versatile? Yes. But does Usyk have a better jab than Wilder? I mean, Wilder's jab is a great jab. Like,
I wouldn't say it was a great jab. It's a good jab. He's not Larry Holmes.
No, he's not Larry Holmes. But this whole notion that, like, Wilder just is like, He can't box at all. I mean, he's landing that right hand against everybody.
He's had 45 fights, and he's knocked out everybody except
right
Fury.
Hand. Yeah, I mean, it may not be in the classical sense of the word the way people perceive it to be, but when you say this guy's not skilled, like skill is a subjective thing. Now, if we're being objective, yeah, Usyk does more things well than Wilder does.
Absolutely.
Got better footwork.
Better boxing,
right?
Better technically.
He's a better counterpuncher.
Does he have a better
chin?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I know Wilder. I know
does
Wilder's
he put
got
his
a
shots,
chin. I know Wilder
does he put
can
his
get
shots
up.
Together better? Does he put his shots together better? Yeah. You know, is he a better body puncher? Yeah. You know, does he create angles better? Yeah. Does he gauge distance better? Maybe. But Wilder's got a great jab. He knows how to set up that right hand. He's landed that right hand against everybody he's fought.
I think this tells the story right here. This comment right here, Canali Buddy Yang, he said Wilder has a trash resume, but for some reason he beats everybody. There you go. For some reason, he always lands that right hand. D-Style, thank you so much. He said, has knocked Fury down 4 times. Yeah, Wilder has knocked Fury down 4 times. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing, man. And I would favor, you know, I think you have to favor Usyk in a Wilder fight. But listen, I'm not betting against Wilder in that fight. In fact, I'm betting with Wilder in that fight. That's a good fight.
I'm honestly curious to see what that line would be. Usyk maybe would be favored, but
I think
how
Usyk
much?
Would be favored, but not by much. That's a gimme fight,
much.
Man. That's a tough, tough fight, man, because, again, both guys, you know, Usyk has one way to win that fight. Wilder has one way to win that fight. So that's a, you know, Usyk's got to outbox him. I don't see him stopping him. You know, I just don't. Yeah. So, you know, but as far as Tyson Fury goes in fighting Ngannou, look, man, I mean, you want to see him fight Usyk? I want to see him fight Usyk, too. I hate that the fight's not happening, but we all knew the fight wasn't happening. You know, we knew that fight wasn't going to happen until what, later on this year, next year, whatever, you know.
I don't think any of those fights are happening in December. I think it's probably going to happen in January or February.
You know, we talk about undisputed champion and everything like that. Listen,
yeah,
we know Tyson Fury is, you know, to me anyway, is a clear favorite to beat Usyk. Whether he does or not, whether they fight or not, I think he's a clear favorite to beat Usyk.
I agree with you.
And I think he's a clear favorite to beat anybody else in that heavyweight division. I think he's miles ahead of anybody in that division. Anybody. And that includes Big Baby Anderson. You know what I mean? Again, you know, he's miles ahead of anybody. It's just, to let him fight this fight, it doesn't matter. He was going to, would you rather see him fight this guy or Otto Wallin again? You know what I mean? Give him one of these fights, give everybody a bunch of money, and then let's get back to it. That's how I feel about it. That's just me.
Now you're going to make me buy it now because you're talking me into it like you talked me into the Mayweather fight.
Once we saw that press conference, we were sprung. We knew we had to buy the Mayweather fight.
Can't stand you.
Too good.
Always do it to me, man. Always do it to me.
Your boy, B, Devin Haney, arrested this week. Check this out. If this doesn't sound fishy, I don't know what does. All right? I like Devin Haney, you know, but listen to this. This sounds just crazy to me here. Cops pulled Devin Haney over for failure to signal a lane change. All right?
Jesus.
They searched his car and found a semi-automatic gun. Haney had a security with him, and since nobody took ownership of the gun, and the car was registered to Haney, Haney got arrested. His boys, it's like, I think it was his security too. Why did they feel the need? I guess my first question is, and this is, I mean, this, he's going to get off with a miss. This is not a, he's going to get off with a fine or whatever. In Ohio, which I don't really get. In Ohio is a carry state. It is turned into a carry state now. I don't need a license to carry a gun. I don't need a license to carry a handgun. I don't need to get it registered, anything like that. I can go buy one, put it in my pocket, and go anywhere I want.
That's
all right?
Nuts.
And nobody's going to stop you. It's a carry state, maybe. We don't mess around in Ohio, son. That's how we do it around here. Bang, bang. Right? That's how we do it.
Please.
Stop it. What's the matter with you? You're in that liberal Massachusetts up there. You're in liberal Boston up there. They don't even sell guns over there, baby. It's illegal to not own a gun in Ohio, baby. That's how we do stuff over here.
Takes you like seven months to get a gun over here, guys. All the shit you got to fill out.
Here's my question. Why was that car searched?
You know what's so crazy?
What is it that you found on this traffic stop other than probably four black guys in the car? What is it that you found on that traffic stop that said, hey, I need to search that car? Stop it.
I've done crazy shit in my life growing up, all right? And I've been pulled over. I've never had my car searched. Never.
I've had my car searched. Oh, yeah. We were driving back from Kansas one time, and I got pulled over. Said all the right things. He was like, yeah, can we search your car? What? And what am I going to say? No, I'm over here in Kansas. Of course, yeah, search away. Didn't find anything, but it's like, Why would you think it was okay, again, other than the four people in that car, what did you find suspicious in there? What was so suspicious to you that you had to search that car?
Yeah, sounds like a...
That's nonsense, man. And you know what? Haney did the right thing, and they all did the right thing by shutting up. They all did the right thing by shutting up. He'll beat this case, you know. He'll beat this case because, again, they all shut up. Nobody took ownership.
Yeah.
You know,
his dad said it's understanding. He'll be fine.
Yeah, Reese Mack says, what's wrong with four black guys in a car? You're profiling. No, they're profiling. That's the problem. This is in Las Vegas. Las Vegas. Like, it's not, you know, I mean, like, what in the world? It's not like you're in rural Arkansas, you know? I mean, come on, man. You see four guys in a car and we got to search the car?
Yeah,
we search it. Again, you have to have probable suspicion to search a car. What probable suspicion? I would love to know what probable suspicion they gave him to search that car.
Unless they were intimidated by the security guards. But that's, yeah, so what? So what?
Yeah. I don't get it, man. I don't get that, man. I just don't get it. And I tell you what, I hope he fights this. I hope Haney fights this. You know, because, again, they found the pistol or whatever. Pistol doesn't have to be registered. Everybody's got different gun laws. And it almost looks like they, you know, when you find something like that and you arrest him for it, stop it.
Don't ever get caught with a gun in New York or Massachusetts or California because you're going to be fucked.
Yeah.
You don't have a license. And I don't even think, I'm not even sure, if it's registered, you can even keep it in your car. There's different laws for that too.
Yeah. Well, it used to be, okay, so it used to be, if it used to be here that if you were, say you have a gun, all right, and you have like a pistol, let's just say a pistol, okay?
Yeah.
I have a Glock, right? And it's, if I'm taking it to the range to shoot, I have to have the Glock in the front seat, and I have to have the ammo in another compartment, either in the back seat or in the trunk.
Because, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you have to have it in the trunk, because this was the law here, because they say
that's the law anymore.
No, because again, it's a carry state now.
They got rid of it. You could just fucking fire on people now.
Wild West, baby.
That's crazy, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this though, because of that law's in effect now, right? When a cop pulls somebody over, they got to think about that now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know the thing is, that you have to tell them, obviously, you got to be forthright with, hey, we got a gun in here. You know, I'm carrying. Because they'll ask you, do you have any weapons or anything like that? Yeah.
They'll ask you right off the bat now, right?
Yeah.
That's one of that's a question you'd be asked, do you have any weapons in the car?
Yeah. You know, do you have anything on you? Anything, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you have to, like, it's one of those things, man. It's like, listen, if you're going to carry it on you, I don't know where you're going that you think you need to carry a gun on you. I mean, if you really have to carry a gun on where you're going, maybe you ought to rethink where you're going. I don't ever carry a gun because, you know, I don't ever feel like I'm in danger. Maybe I'm just naive. I don't know. But, like, you know.
All you got to do is pull out your ringside reporter card. No one's going to fuck with you.
Two guns, Lord. That's right. Bang, bang. Yeah, so I tell you what, man. I hope Haney fights this, and I hope he wins because –
he'll be all right, man.
That traffic stop, and I tell you, that search just sounds like nonsense. They didn't find anything but the gun. What were you looking for? Why would you stop that car? For failure that was the other thing. For failure to signal changing lanes. They were watching that car. I guarantee you, maybe that car had tinted windows or something like that. They were watching that car. They were waiting for anything they could get, and then boom. That's exactly what happened there, and that is nonsense.
I suspect they profiled them.
Yeah, and to me, that's nonsense. You know, it just is.
I think they profiled them.
Okay, Teofimo Lopez, your boy, comes out of retirement, Beeb. He heard the cries, and he said, hey, I got to come out. Teofimo has come out of his 48-hour retirement. He told the WBO president that he is not letting his title go. He's recently been on social media going back and forth with Devin Haney. Man, if we could get that fight.
That'd be a great fight, man.
Devin Haney has said, boxing too says racism doesn't exist. Right, exactly.
Okay.
Not here in Ohio, but over in Vegas, apparently it does. I'll tell you what, man, that is a good fight. Now, Devin Haney has accused Teofimo for asking for like over $20 million to fight. And that fight's not going to happen if that's the case. You're not going to get $20 million for that fight. But
his dad was saying that. But then Pio came out and said, "My dad don't speak to me."
Moron. Yeah. His dad is a complete moron.
His dad's crazy.
Yeah. Listen, man. You can't. Sometimes, you know, we look at that situation and say how chaotic it is. I think some people, they operate best when it's calm. Some people operate best when it's chaotic. And that's just the only thing they know. And he may be one of those people, you know, but it's working for them. Hey, he went out there, he won the fights, and hey, man, can't take anything away from him, man. But we all knew he wasn't retiring. I mean, let's be real.
No, he's not retiring.
He ain't retiring. Tank Davis, finally, gets out of the slam, Beeb. I think it was 44 days he had to spend in there, Beeb. 44 hard days, breaking rocks, doing everything in there, baby, making license plates, whatever he had to do to survive in there. The mean streets. He's a free man. He's just been released from jail. A Maryland Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services spokesperson said the star boxer got out of the Baltimore detention Friday afternoon. So there you go. There you go. All right, one more call, and then we're going to call it over. 708. 708, I believe this is Chicago. 708, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, really enjoying the show today. It's Kylie from Chicago. I just wanted to say, man, I think you guys got to really look out for Francis Ngannou, dude. His KO power, either he puts people to sleep or he leaves them in the fetal position. If you just watch the highlights of any, all of his fights.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
His last fight, I mean, his last fight just looked bad because of his knee. But from before that, he's either knocking people out, and when he knocks them out, he puts them to sleep. Like, they're snoring. He did that to Stipe. He was the first one to put Stipe out, if you watch UFC.
And Ngannou's good. And Ngannou's good, but I don't think he's got the chops to box with a guy like Fury, who's been doing this since he was, you know, four or something like that. You know, and I would think...
No, there's no way he's
going to
be able to box him. But
no.
Outside of Wilder, there's no other fight. There's no other fight. I'd rather watch Tyson fight. I mean, I would love to see him go for the undisputed, but to be honest, I'd rather watch this first. This is more of a... I would say, yeah, it's a circus and a freak show, and it's like coming with the Saudi money. But, you know, it's
train wreck. Everybody loves a train wreck. Yeah, man,
yeah,
everybody loves a train wreck.
That's all I... When B said he didn't want to watch,
behind
like, come on, B.
I know, right? Come on, B. All right, my friend, we're going to get going. We're rolling here. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, B, let me get rolling with this, man. I mean,
man,
come
shame.
On.
I got to buy this now. This is horrible.
You got to buy this. Like, yeah.
You
have,
we're
just twisting
pressure.
Your arm. We're just peer pressure.
You're
peer
pressure me into this, man.
That's right.
Well, it's not even fair anymore.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. Guys, we will catch you next week.